Okay. So I decided to do another class on Frobenius series or regular singular points. And part of the reason was because I just decided to show actual computations, and while I feel zero confidence doing actual computations on the blackboard myself, I am very happy to show you computations that the computer did for me. So I wrote a little program. The program does exactly the mathematics. So I mean, even if you don't speak the language, you can read the program. And part of what I want to do today is to demo this program and then move on a little bit and get some further qualitative information and whatever. But I mean, that's the beginning. Anyway, let me remind you where we were. So we had a differential equation of the form of the form xy double prime plus xpy prime plus py is equal to zero. We cared about solutions near zero because zero was a singular point. And in fact, we called equations like this where p and q are analytic, meaning have a power series expansion. We called point zero for equations like this a regular singular point. And we want to study what happens near it. In other words, we want to find a more or less power series solution. Okay? So we denoted Ly, the operator that converts y to the expression written over here. Okay? So you see, strictly speaking, you know, here I'm using a non-associative property of equality. You see, sorry, I'm being silly. But you see, if equality was associative, then I'd be defining Ly to be zero. But really how I want you to read this is Ly is defined to be this, and we consider the equation this is equal to zero.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. So now we want to try a solution, where we want to try for solutions. And the idea was to look for solutions of the form. I don't know how we got to this idea, this is irrelevant at this point. We were looking for solutions of the form x to the alpha times a normal power series which begins with 1, so a0 is equal to 1. Alternatively, this can be written as sum an x to the n plus alpha. And then already in the tutorial last week, Jordan derived the equation that the coefficients an must satisfy. And the equation was f of alpha plus n, an is equal to whatever, some expression, not terribly interesting, in the previous alphas, sorry, in the previous ans. So for an, this will involve only ak with k less than n. Okay? Where f alpha is equal to alpha times alpha minus 1 plus p0 alpha plus q0. And Jordan called this the indicial polynomial, and I am perfectly happy with the name. I think this is the name. Okay? Anyway, so how does this lead to a solution of the equation? So we've done that, or part of it we've done, but I want to do a little bit more, okay? So let me remind you what came next. So first of all, in the case n equals to zero, this equation becomes f of alpha plus zero, a zero, is equal to zero. Okay? So, I want you to ignore this equation. Okay? So, ignore this equation, and nevertheless, take a zero equals to one. Okay? Regardless, this is for any value of alpha. No matter what alpha is, take a0 equals to 1, this equation will not hold. Okay? And then use this recursion, and then use, let's call it star. So use star to get some coefficients an, but this an will depend on alpha, right? Because this the equation star has lots of alphas in it, okay? And then set phi sub alpha. So phi sub alpha is definitely not going to be a solution of the equation, right? I'm ignoring some of, I'm ignoring this in order to set phi sub alpha. Nevertheless, I want to set phi alpha to be the sum that corresponds to these coefficients. So it will be sum of an of alpha times x to the power n plus alpha. Okay? And let me call this, again, this is not of a solution of the equation. Nevertheless, let me call it the fundamental series of the equation of L. Now, I have to admit that this is a name that I made up. It correctly describes this series, namely it's fundamental, but I haven't seen this name in the literature. Okay? So, it's a temporary name for within this class. Okay? Anyway, what do we know about this F alpha? So, we know, three things, okay? One is, three things in increasing order of subtlety. So first of all, what is L of phi alpha? So the only place we messed up was that we ignored the zeroth coefficient. We ignored the equation that came from x to the alpha, right? Each of these equalities came from comparing coefficients, right? Came from substituting the power series into the equation and equating the coefficient of x to the n plus alpha to zero. Okay? Now, we ignored only one of these coefficients. We ignored the coefficient of x to the alpha. So, this will be proportional to x to the alpha. And what will be the constant of the, what will be the factor of proportionality? Okay, I mean, because we will get a mistake only at power x to the alpha. Everything else is done correctly. So what will be the power of the, what will be the coefficient? So the coefficient will be, that was the coefficient. We had to equate it to zero. Okay? So that will remain the coefficient, except a0 was set to 1, so the coefficient is just f of alpha. So we get here, we get here f of alpha. And again, this is So in general, phi alpha will not be a solution because f alpha is not zero. Okay. The second point I want to make. I want to show an example, and then in fact I want to show two examples, and then actually make the point. Okay. So. Even before doing an example, let me put it into the computer. Okay? So I'm telling the computer to do exactly what is written on the blackboard. Namely, I'm defining the fundamental series, well actually I'm defining the fundamental series of various forms of the equation to be fundamental series of p, q, and n. So p means the coefficient p, q means the coefficient q, and n is just, let's take the series up to power number n, because you know it's a computer, it cannot do infinite series, okay? And then I'm defining the fundamental series of p, q, and n to be the following thing, okay? So first of all, I let pk be the coefficient, the series coefficient of p relative to the variable x near the point 0 at k. So essentially what's written here. Then I'm defining qk to be the same. Then I'm defining the fundamental the initial polynomial, so f of alpha, to be alpha times alpha minus 1 plus p0 alpha plus q0. This is written here. And p0 and q0 were already defined up above. Then I'm cheating. You know, computer programs should not have intermediate printouts in them. That's bad practice. But I'm doing it anyway. Okay? So I'm printing the solution of f alpha is equal to 0. Because later I will need it. Okay? And then I'm defining ak when k, sorry, a0 to be 1, and ak when k is greater than 0 to be given by, well, the sum written here divided by f of alpha plus k, meaning I'm just moving the f alpha to the other side, okay? So, and finally, I let this whole routine output sum of ak x to the k multiplied by x to the alpha. So exactly what it should be. I mean, this is phi alpha, okay? Plus O of x to the n plus 1. O of x to the n plus 1 means terms whose size is comparable to x to the n plus 1. Next, I'm defining L of an equation and a function f to be, take the equation, substitute for the y double prime term the second derivative of f with respect to x, and for the y prime term the first derivative of f with respect to x, and for the y term f itself. So basically L evaluated at an equation and a function will put this function into the equation. That's it. And then the last thing is an embarrassment. You see, I like it when the programs completely match with the mathematics, and so far everything completely matched with the mathematics, but this is sort of a hack to go around something that the mathematica doesn't do very well, which is to simplify a power series. So I've just added something to simplify power series better. I'd rather not talk about it. I'm embarrassed. Okay. Anyway, let me input this into the computer, meaning hit enter. I just hit enter, now the computer knows everything that's on this blackboard. And now let's check it. Let's actually do it. So maybe I'll do it for the Bessel equation of order 1/9. Oh, sorry, order 1/3. Whatever it is. We will see it many times, but for now let's just give it a name. So the Bessel equation of order 1/3 is the equation x squared y double prime plus xy prime plus x squared minus 1/3 squared, x squared minus 1/3 squared y is equal to 0. So let me enter the equation and ask the computer to compute its fundamental series to degree 10. So here's what you get. Done. That's exactly why I didn't do it myself. Okay? The reason I didn't want to do it is because it's a mess. But it's not so bad a mess. You know, it's that's what it is. Okay? Okay. You know something? I think... Oh, and by the way, these are the solutions sort of, this is the intermediate printout that I was a bit ashamed of. Not ashamed of, I wasn't ashamed of it, but I said it's bad programming practice. But anyway, these are the solutions of the initial equations. These are the solutions of the equation f of alpha is equal to zero. Okay. Anyway, so let me briefly ignore the two remaining points that I wanted to make about phi alpha and tell you once again how to find solutions of the equation. So, since I know L of phi alpha is equal to F alpha of X alpha, the most rational case, the best way to get solutions of the equations, so to get solutions, you substitute into here, you take, you solve F alpha is equal to zero. The solutions will be alpha 1 and 2, whatever they are, because it's a quadratic equation. And if nothing unexpected happens, and I will be clear about what something unexpected means in a minute, then the solutions are y1, which is f of alpha 1, and y2, which is f of alpha 2, because L of f alpha 1 will be f of alpha 1, which is 0 times something, and L of y2 will be f of alpha 2, which is 0 times something. So let's verify it. So, even before that, actually, sorry, let's check what happens when I take the equation and evaluate it at phi. So I take the L operator corresponding to the equation and substitute phi, the fundamental solution, into it. Ooh, my God, what is it? I got x to the alpha times the initial equation, well, plus something that's ignorable. Okay, something of high order, right? I did it only up to order 10, so I didn't expect to get. So this is the remainder. Okay. Now, let's take y1 to be phi with alpha replaced by alpha 1, and y2 to be phi with alpha replaced by alpha 2. So this is phi 1, this is phi 2. Again, I have nothing positive to say about these things. They're just numbers. Okay? And just for fun, you see, it's always good to do a sanity check. Maybe I'm cheating. Maybe my program is in an intricate way programmed to output true. Okay? So it's always good to do a sanity check. So let's take y3, take this coefficient, and add to it another factor of 2 with the same denominator. Basically, let's ruin it. Okay? So instead of 27 here, I'll have 29 and nothing else is changed. Okay, so the point of having this y3 is as a comparison. I'm going to run the program I'm going to evaluate the equation on y1, y2, and y3, and y3 better give me an incorrect answer. Okay? Now let me make a table of L evaluated on yi for i going from 1 to 3. And, okay, the first one gave me essentially the error term. The second one gave me the error term. The third one, as it should have, gave me the error term plus two mistakes. The reason it gave two mistakes is because I messed it up at this coefficient. So anything beyond that point is wrong. Okay? So, good. Program worked. Now let's move on. Okay. So, next example. Oh, you know what? Sorry. Even before. So, what have I learned in this case? Well, okay, I learned that the solutions have messy power series, okay? But even better, I learned that y1 looks like x to the 1/3 times one plus terms that are smaller. And I found that y2 is equal to x to the negative 1/3 times 1 plus terms that are smaller. Okay? So I can plot the solutions. Okay? And the general solution will be ay1 plus by2. And if a is not equal to zero, if b is not equal to zero, if b here is not equal to zero, well, you see, everything that I did works near the zero, okay? Near zero, x to the minus 1/3, x to a negative power, is much more than x to a positive power. So near zero, this will be the dominant term. So near zero, I will see a solution that looks like x to the negative 1/3. What does x to the negative 1/3 look like? Oh my God, I don't really know. I mean, sorry, I do know, but I don't know how to draw it in any way that will look different than 1 over x. It's not 1 over x. It grows slower than 1 over x when x goes to zero. But sort of our eye is not good enough to tell the difference. Okay? Yes?
I was wondering what would happen if the solution just wasn't of the form x to the power of alpha times like the power series. So would you hit a problem at some point?
Well, okay. For regular singular points, everything will work, always.
Always, though.
I mean, that's the point. Except I'm not done telling you how. Okay? In other situations, we will have to do other things, and we will. We still have like five classes after this one. Okay? Otherwise, the solution will look like this cubic root of x. So, otherwise, the solution will look like something like this. This is the cubic root of x. Plus a correction which will be of smaller order, so I'm not showing it. Okay? Good. Next example. So the next example is not on the screen, and in fact I did it already, or I started doing it on the board last time. Wait, if it's not on the screen, it's in my own notes. We did the following. We considered y double prime plus 1 over 2x squared plus 1 over 2 times 1 minus x squared y is equal to 0. And is this a regular singular point? Well, let's multiply by x squared. We get x squared y double prime plus 1/2 plus x squared divided by 2 times 1 minus x squared y is equal to 0. P is equal to 0. This is Q. And Q is analytic because it's 1/2 plus near 0 times something that has a power series expansion. And in fact, the power series expansion of this thing begins with 0 because, well, Q0 is equal to 0 because when you substitute 0 in here, you get 0. Sorry, oops, Q0 is 1/2. Because when you substitute 0 into all of this, you get 1/2 plus 0. Okay? Good. So the initial equation is F alpha is equal to alpha times alpha minus 1 plus 1/2. If you want to solve this is equal to 0, you find that alpha is equal to, oh my God, complex numbers. Why did anybody invent them? one half plus one half I hope. Okay? And therefore, the solutions behave like x to the power 1 half plus 1 half I. Except, what does this mean? Okay? So, this means, or how do you take x to a complex power? Well, you do e to the power, or you know what, let me do it in general. So in general, what is x to the lambda if lambda is equal to alpha plus I beta? Sorry, this alpha has nothing to do with this. Okay? So this is e to the lambda log x, if I remember correctly. Do I? Good. Which is e to the alpha plus I beta log x, which is, well, you know what, okay, which is, okay, let me add another step, it's e to the alpha log x times e to the I beta log x, okay, and e to the alpha log x, alpha is a real number, so this is just x to the alpha, which is meaningful as a real power, okay? And e to the I times anything is cosine plus I is that thing. So this is cosine beta log x plus I sine beta log x. Sorry, not log. Okay? Sorry, this is in parentheses. Okay? Now, so solutions will look like x to the alpha times a real part and an imaginary part. But let's do the usual trick, which is I got complex valued solutions, but I want to consider the real valued linear combinations of those. So let's look at this solution plus its conjugate and this minus its conjugate. Or in other words, the real part and the imaginary part. So this will look like x to the 1 half times either cosine 1 half log x or sine 1 half log x. Or more generally, so a combination of the two. Okay, sorry, the notation here is a bit murky. Okay? Anyway, what does the graph of this look like? So if I wanted to understand this qualitatively, what will I get? So log x looks like, what's the graph of log x? Something like this, I believe. Now, we care about what happens near zero. Everything that we're doing is near zero. Near zero, log x goes to negative infinity. In as much as trigonometric functions are concerned, negative infinity and plus infinity are the same. I mean, they just oscillate. Okay? So, we will get x to the 1 half times something that oscillates, well, either like a cosine or like a sine, and again, the eye does can't really tell the difference. Okay? I mean, it can only if you put coordinates. Okay? But qualitatively, it's more or less the same. So x to the 1 half times cosine, let me write cosine, but I mean either way it could be sine, log x will look like, okay, so first of all I'll make an envelope that looks like x to the 1 half, and within that envelope I will have oscillations that go faster and faster as I approach zero, because the argument to the cosine will approach infinity. So basically this is what you get. I'm telling you a slight lie. Okay? This is what you get, but it's a lie. Okay? The reason it's a lie is because the proportions are actually wrong, and in reality, the oscillations are really, really slow, because log grows really, really slowly. So the magnitude of the oscillations shrinks to zero much faster than the frequency goes to infinity. Okay, then the wavelength goes to zero. So in reality, if you plot this function, it's actually extremely hard to see that it oscillates. And you know, I wasn't meaning to do it, I'm tempted to show you, because you know, it's sort of an amusing warning. So let's ask the computer to do plot of let me ignore the power 1/2, okay? So, no, let me not ignore it. So, plot the square root of x times cosine of 1/2 log of x, okay, for x going from 10 to the minus 12, you see I cannot say 0. If I say 0, it's undefined, to 1, okay? So, done. Okay, so, you know, here it oscillates, but you don't see it. Now, if you don't believe me that it oscillates here, let me do it again and change the scale. So instead of going up to 1, I'll go up to 0.1. Okay, and then it will start here, and then we will okay, let's do it again with 0.1. And well, you see, it got magnified, and you can now tell that it bounces back to zero. Presumably, it will oscillate a bit more here. I know you don't believe me, so let's do it to 0.01. Okay, so .01. Ah, you see, now we can actually see that it went up and passes zero a bit. So let's do it again. Now let me add two zero at once. And it about, so you see what I mean? And the vertical scale also shrinks here in each of these plots, okay? So, I mean, sort of, this is what you would like to imagine the graph is, but really you cannot see the oscillations, they're way too slow. Okay? Sorry, that was an aside. So, by the way, tomorrow I'm going to distribute a handout in which this a graph like that, this will appear to oscillate, and it took me a long time to fudge with the constants until I could find somehow a window in which two oscillations could be seen at once. Okay? So I actually had to fudge to make the handout that we'll get tomorrow. Okay. Okay, that was the easy case. This is still the case where everything works. So let me see the case, or let me discuss the cases in which things don't work. So the first place in which, the first way in which something might fail is what if f has only one root? Okay? So in other words, alpha 1 is equal to alpha 2, alpha 2. So, I will get the solution y1 by taking phi of alpha 1, but how do I get the second solution? And the trick is exactly the same trick that we did when we had when we were trying to solve linear equations with constant coefficients. Okay? You may remember, we also sometimes had we had to take the root of some polynomial, and sometimes there was a double root. And the idea was to take the thing written here and differentiate it. Okay? With respect to alpha. Okay? So, take equation one, number one, and compute its d to d alpha. D to d alpha. D alpha of this equation. Now, L involves only derivatives with respect to x. Derivatives with respect to x commute with derivatives with respect to alpha. It doesn't matter in which order you do them. Okay? So on the left-hand side, you will get L of d to d d alpha phi alpha. And on the right-hand side, you have to now differentiate something. I forgot how to differentiate. You get f prime of alpha x to the alpha plus f of alpha, the derivative of x to the alpha, it's x to the alpha log alpha, isn't it? What?
Log x?
Log x. Log x. Thanks. You see, I really don't remember how to differentiate. Anyway, now substitute alpha is equal to, substitute alpha is equal to one of the two roots. So let me just write it as a new line. At alpha equals alpha 1, which is the same as alpha 2, what we get here is L evaluated on D to d alpha phi alpha at alpha equals alpha 1 is equal to, well, since it was a double root, the derivative at alpha is also equal to 0. The meaning of double root is that the derivative is also equal to 0. So you get 0 here. Here you certainly get 0. So you get 0 plus 0, which is 0. And the conclusion is that the solution y2 will be d to d alpha phi alpha evaluated at alpha equals alpha 1. And as I said, we've already done it once before. So let's do again an example. And I think now I'm going to j0, the Bessel function j0. So the equation is the equation written here. Let's enter it and let phi be the solution to degree 10. And you see my cheating worked, and the initial equation has two roots, and it's 0 and 0. So I'm in this funny case. Okay? Let's verify that L evaluated on phi works out. Well, it does. Okay? In fact, it does, meaning you get the indicial polynomial, which is alpha squared, that's a polynomial that has double root at 0, times x to the alpha. Good. Let's compute now y1. So y1 is just phi evaluated. It's just the fundamental solution with alpha being replaced by the root of the initial polynomial. So, which in our case is 0. Okay, we got some lovely power theories. Let's verify that the equation is satisfied. It is. And let y2 be the derivative of the fundamental series with respect to alpha at alpha equals 0. This is exactly what I wrote here. Okay? And what do we get? Ooh, we get a mess. This is no longer a power series. Okay? Rather, it's no longer a power series because phi alpha has x to the alpha in it, and its derivative, and the derivative of x to the alpha, as I was just taught, is x to the alpha times log x. So it's not just, so it will have terms that look like just ordinary power series, but also terms that look like log x times a power series. And, well, that's what you get here. Okay? But anyway, is this a solution? Maybe it's not a power series, but is it a solution? Yes, it is. And finally, let me leave an exercise for you. So, exercise. Yeah, I almost have no space, so I'm sorry. Exercise. The log part that you will get, or the coefficient of the log, is really the previous solution. Okay? So y2 is equal to y1 times log of x plus a new power series, sum bn x to the n. Okay? And regardless of whether you solve the exercise, let's check if it works here. So let's take y2 and subtract from it log x times y1. And if we're fortunate, we will get 0. No, sorry, we weren't supposed to get 0. We were only supposed to get a new power series. Okay, sorry, so good, it's not... Everything works. Okay. Now let me tell you about... Okay, now let's go back to the theory. Okay? And I'll tell you where I slightly cheated. So, remember the definition of the fundamental solution. The fundamental solution involved in it, well, it was defined here. AK involved in it dividing by alpha to the K. Okay? So, the fundamental solution will have, point number two, in writing the fundamental solution, there will be problems, okay? I will sometimes divide, well, I might divide by zero. And let me just write it as a, the following statement. So, the coefficient an alpha of the fundamental solution, so of, well, which appears in the fundamental solution, I think I've defined it as this, has at most simple poles at each point of the form alpha plus k, where alpha plus k, where k is something between is bigger than zero and smaller than n. So let me explain. Simple pole means a zero in the denominator, okay? But a single zero, not a double zero, okay? So a simple pole, more formal or wider definitions can be given, but for us it's enough. So for us this is a sufficient definition. So, so, again, simple pole means that in the denominator you'd have a polynomial, and this polynomial has it's not what I wanted to say. No, oh my god, sorry, I said it wrong. Simple pole at each you know what, I'll be less precise, but say something, okay. The coefficient here may have poles if for some k less than or equal to n and bigger than 1, f of alpha plus k is equal to 0. Sorry, now what I said is correct. Okay, so it may involve division by 0 if for some k, f of alpha plus k is equal to 0. I mean, just read it and it's clear, okay? And I think I should have mentioned point 3. Otherwise, if alpha is such that no poles arise, then phi alpha is convergent. And this is essentially a replay of Fuchs's theorem, and I don't want to do it again. But anyway, so there remains a problem, okay? So the last case is if there are two roots, alpha 1, and let's decide that alpha 1 is bigger than alpha 2, okay? Well, first of all, you'll always have solution number 1, which is y1, which is phi of alpha 1, and this will never give difficulty because the denominator will involve f of alpha 1 plus k, and f of alpha 1 plus k will never be a root, will never be alpha 2, okay? But if alpha 1 minus alpha 2 is equal to some integer n, which belongs to, which is a positive integer, then phi alpha 2 does not make sense. Will not or may not make sense. May not make sense because the denominator might, because phi alpha 2 will have in the various denominators f of alpha 2 plus k for any k, and for one of those k's you will get alpha 1, which is the root. So maybe I'll show an example, and this is the Bessel function J1. So, where was it? Here is the equation, and let me compute its fundamental series. So this is the equation. The indicial polynomial has roots at 1 and minus 1. The difference between them is an integer. If you look at the fundamental solution, it will have denominators. And the denominators are, well, various things that vanish at various places. Okay? But you can check that they will, all the vanishing is at alpha plus 1 plus an integer. Okay? So there will be no problem if you substitute alpha equals 1, the bigger of the two roots, because you will never get a zero in the denominator. But you will have trouble if you substitute alpha is equal to negative 1. Okay, so first of all, let's verify that this satisfies the equation, what it should, and it does. You get f of alpha times x to the alpha. This is f of alpha. Y1 gives no trouble. But let me see what happens if I try to put negative 1. Okay, so if I try to put negative 1, I get error messages because I'm trying to divide by 0. Okay, anyway, the alternative is to, so how do you get the solution instead? So the solution is you multiply both sides by alpha times, sorry, by alpha minus alpha 1. So you still have L of, so okay, so you get L of alpha minus alpha 1 phi alpha is equal to alpha minus alpha 1 f of alpha x to the alpha. And the point is that by multiplying by alpha minus alpha 1, you eliminated the denominators that might look like alpha minus alpha 1 in phi alpha. So I'm out of time, but I'll do it very quickly. So in our case, you get this. Sorry, let me simplify the coefficients. The denominator that gave the trouble at alpha minus at alpha equals negative 1 goes away, and eventually you get a solution. And I'm afraid I again run out of time. So I still owe you some stuff. Sorry. Okay.